Psalm 119. The common, most of the common comments that I've gotten through the past week are, well, it says the same thing in every verse, so why read it? And that's pretty much what people think, I believe. They really do think that. It's long, and so most people, when they go verse by verse through the Psalms, they go, they do Psalm 119 pretty quickly. I'm going to do it too. Maybe it'll take us about 2 to 3 weeks. I think we can do it pretty quickly. Because I think we should do every verse. Even though you're all convinced it says the same thing, maybe we could still learn something from it. You know, Psalm 119 is, you know this, the longest psalm in the Bible. Not only is it the longest psalm, but it is the longest chapter of any book in the Bible. It is the longest chapter. Almost every verse in this psalm exalts and praises God's word. I think there are two verses out of the 176 verses that don't, but almost every verse exalts God and his word. Now you see, the emphasis of the longest chapter in the Bible is on God's word. Okay, you starting to catch on? The emphasis of the longest chapter. God made this the longest chapter in his whole book, the book that he gave to you. And the emphasis of the longest chapter in this entire book is on his word. You and I, as true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to put the emphasis where God himself puts the emphasis. God's biggest emphasis is on his word. Listen to Jesus when he says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Listen to what I say, and by my Holy Spirit, do that. My word. And of course, when the young man came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know what God's word says. Do that. So you're going to find that no matter how we slice it, you cannot get away from the fact that we need his word. We need his word today more than ever before. We've always needed it, but man, we're in a time where more than ever before, most churches do not do the Bible anymore. Oh, they'll quote from it, they'll talk from it, but they don't do it anymore. It's just not there. You can go to many churches and you don't need to take a Bible with you. You know, we're hoping someday to get one of those fancy projectors so that we can project the words of the music on the wall so you can drop all these song sheets. But I'm telling you, we will not put the Bible up there. We will not take it out of your hands because we want you to know where it is, how to use it, how it works. We're not going to put it up there. If the Lord ever provides one of those video projectors, you might see commercials for the coffee shop like you do on the TVs before service. You might see the bulletin and some of the announcements. You might see a picture of me. That would be nice. But you're not going to see the Bible while we teach it. You're going to still need to hold it and have it in your hand. It is God's word. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and I hope you are reading your Bible. God answers prayers. God answers prayers that are in accordance with his will. Man, if I want him to answer my prayers, I need to know what his will is. There is a way to find out. Read through the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Understanding. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, we better start this or we'll never get finished. Oh, wait, let me do this for you, too. I'm sure you've noticed it, but let's get it on tape. CD, DVD, MP3, video, something. Something. Yes, there are 8 verses for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm sure you've probably noticed that when you've read through it. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so, 8 times 22 is? See, you're good. 176 verses. 8 verses for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And almost every verse without fail exalts God in his word. God has lifted his word up above his name. In other words, God's word and his name are synonymous. And when God speaks, you can depend on what he had to say. Well, let's begin. Psalm 119, verse 1. And we're going to go fast. So hang on, buckle your seatbelts, make sure your trays are in their upright, full upright position. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. There you go. Those who walk in absolute, total obedience to God's word will be blessed. God wants me, wants you, wants us to walk in his word. And so those that will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, those that choose to, Lord, I just want to follow you, I want to do your word. Give me the strength to obey you, to do your will. Those people will be blessed. All right, silly question, but let's ask it. Christian, do you want to be blessed? Silly question. I do. That's what I want. Everything else I don't want. I want just bless. That's all I want. And God says, here's how you do that. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. A promise there for you to claim. Underline it. Claim it. If I follow his word, he will bless. Listen. Don't take the attitude of some preachers today. God has to bless. No, no, no. That's not the way it works. God is my Lord. He is my master. He doesn't have to do anything. There are a lot of things I have to do. Die, pay tax, and all those things, and you've heard of them. No, no, no. God wants to bless. Don't take the wrong attitude. God will bless those who listen to him. He wants to bless. It's not like he's just locked himself in. Oh, no, I don't really like her, and I have to bless now. No, it doesn't work that way. God wants to bless and will bless. And verse 5, he says it. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Understanding my weakness. And the psalmist says, oh, that I was more obedient to your ways, O Lord. I know that I come short. That I come short of your glory. I know that. I see it in my everyday life. Oh, that I was more obedient to your ways. I know that you and I, if we're going to be honest, could pray that, could cry that out to God tonight too. Oh, Lord, I wish that I were even more obedient. I mean, there are areas that are still out of line. Lord, help me. The psalmist promises to give God thanks as he learns more about God's word and his ways. I will praise you, verse 7, with an upright, in a brightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. As I grow, I got to remember to praise him more and more and more for the things that he's taught me, for the things that he's doing. God does things in my life and yours every day. Thank him. Don't complain how it's not going. Be thankful how it is going. I mean, it could always be worse. You could be without him. And he's doing things in your life. Things that are going to shame the devil for even accusing you in front of the Lord. You can trust him. Look at verse 9. Wherewithal, or how is it possible, shall a young man or a young person cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verses 9 through 16. How can we cleanse our ways? How can your ways get better than they are right now? You say, man, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. I'm in trouble at school. These things are going on in my life. It's just falling apart around me. How can a young person cleanse their ways? The answer. By reading and doing what God has to say. By taking heed to your word. That's how I could change my ways. You know, it's against the law right now to teach the word of God in public schools. But if there's one thing that public schools need, because children are in them, it's the word of God. Why? Because that's how these young people will cleanse their ways. That's how their ways will be straightened out. That's how they'll be corrected. That's how they'll begin to grow in the right direction. Am I putting down public schools? I guess so. Sure. Let's just say yes. Are Christian schools any better? Not too much, huh? You've seen them. A lot of Christian schools have worse reputation than public schools. What are we going to do? Teach children God's word. How shall a young person cleanse their ways? By taking heed to the word of God. I need to hear it. It needs to get into my life. Young people need to hear it. And you say, I'm not young. How could I change my ways? By taking heed to the word of God. Our children are being taught verse by verse on Sunday mornings. If they're not, well, I'll try and find out about it and we'll fix that. Our junior hires, our high schoolers, that's what they need. You say, they need... No, I'll tell you what they need. Exactly what God's word says. You're wrong. If you think they need anything else, they are wrong. Don't let a 10-year-old tell you what they need. Come on. That'd be like me telling God what I need. Mom, here's what I need for dinner. No, here's what you're going to eat. Or you'll die. You know, God is the same way with us. Hey, here's what you need, Bob. No, I don't. Trust me. I know what you need. Listen, children today need more of the Bible. You say, my kids aren't interested. Okay, doesn't that give you a clue that something's wrong already? Say yes, because yes, something's wrong. What do you mean they're not interested? How did they get uninterested? Shouldn't they have been interested all along? How did they become uninterested? Well, the Bible's going to tell us in a moment. Our lives, we read, must be wholehearted lives. Giving everything that we have, everything that we are, to the Lord, to His will, and to His ways. The word ways would mean His word. He says it, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you. Why do we have children memorize Bible verses? Oh, because it's cute. We give them little sticker smiley faces. And, no, you missed it. Why do we have children memorize Scripture? Because it puts the Word of God there. I know children who today can still quote the verses that they learned in kindergarten, first, second, third grade. They can still quote them. Now, whether they're living them or not, that's always between them and the Lord. But they're there. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Adults, are you memorizing Scripture? Are you making sure to get God's word? Most of us have it in our heads. Someone has said, if you cut some of our heads off, all the Bible that we have would be gone. Is that true of you? If we cut your head off, you cut my head off, would all the Bible that we have really be gone? Or has it gotten down into our hearts so it's part of our life so that we know what God's word says, so we just know it? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. You see, the reason that God's word is so important is it will keep me from going against Him. If there's one you don't want to go against in this lifetime, it's God. Understand, sin has a penalty that it has to pay. The wages of sin is death. It's got to be. That's why Jesus died on the cross. The Word of God is very important. I'm sorry, but I think that we're making it unimportant today. Today's Christianity is kind of saying, well, Word of God, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, I got an email from a friend who went to church this Sunday, and she was thrilled. The Holy Spirit just moved and moved and moved, and the pastor never got a chance to preach his sermon. I don't know if he was going to preach the Word, but the Word never went forth to those people who came. Nobody was fed. That means the sheep came. And it was lots of static and sparks and electricity and excitement. But the sheep went away just as empty as when they showed up. You do that long enough and you'll starve to death. God's word. And he says, please don't let me wander. You and I, all of us, are prone to wander. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. You see, we are natural wanderers. We are born with that sin nature. You don't teach children to sin, you teach them not to sin. True? I mean, those of you that have children, you know. You don't teach them to be selfish, you begin to teach them right away to share. Now, we share, and if there are brothers and sisters involved, there's usually violence involved in them learning how to share. Mine! And here it goes. Or you put them in the nursery for the first time, and other children haven't been taught how to share like yours, and then we have violence erupt there in the nursery, and the numbers come up on the screen, and parents have to fly. You didn't teach them that. Well, hopefully you didn't. I guess I shouldn't say it that way. Under normal circumstances, they know how to do that already. Now, maybe they watched you and got better pointers. I mean, that part I don't know. He says, please don't let me wander. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. We need it. How shall a young person cleanse their ways? By taking heed to it, reading it and living it. It is time to get the Bible back into your house. Some people tell me, but my kids think it's boring. Well, make it exciting. Don't look at me. God's word is not boring at all. I don't know how you are communicating it to these people that you live with, but it's not very boring at all. Well, you don't understand my children. Yes, I do. They watch too much TV. And TV is dragging them down, we're going to see in a moment. And movies are dragging them down. Even the cartoons are dragging them down. They're dragging them into worldly things. Yes, I do. I know that. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect to your ways. I will walk in your ways according to your word, according to your will. And then he, at the end of that, says, I will not forget your word. Listen closely. The very end there of verses, what was it? The verses that we did, whichever ones those were, 9 through 16. Right near the end, he says, I will not forget your word. Maybe if you're a Bible underliner, you could underline that. You know why? Because no matter what the situation, I will not forget your word. No matter how deep the emotion, I will not forget your word. No matter how high the waves, I will not forget your word. No matter how strong the winds, I will not forget your word. It doesn't matter what's going on around, what's going on within, what's going on without. I will not forget your word. I will meditate on your precepts. They will change my heart. A psychiatrist can't. But that's what many, many are leaning toward, looking toward. If you get in trouble with the court system, that's who the courts will send you to. What is needed is the Word of God, and it's not being given out because the court systems aren't allowed to do that. Quote, aren't allowed to do that. But that's what's needed. That's how it's going to change the ways of every one of us. That's how the children are going to grow up right in the way that they should go. It's the Word of God. It's not anything else. I will not forget your word, no matter what happens to me, no matter what the situation. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, this is verse 18, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me to see, is what he's saying, what your word says. I am a stranger in the earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. When you and I, keep in mind, we're strangers here also. We don't belong. We're leaving here soon. My soul breaks for the longing that it has unto thy judgment at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. He says it, open my eyes that I might see. You know, when you open your Bible tonight before you go to bed, or tomorrow when you get up, or whenever you do that, ask the Lord, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and help me to understand what I'm reading. Teach me as I read this. Ask him to. He will. He'll answer your prayer. He says, your word is my counselor. Oh, my goodness. Do you know all the counseling that should be done, or a lot of the counseling that should be done, should happen right from the pulpit? I know it, even though I haven't talked to you personally, I know that as we go verse by verse, I know that your questions are answered, aren't they? Maybe not everyone you've ever had, but doesn't going verse by verse, the power of the Holy Spirit teaching us, do you notice it actually answers some of the questions that we had? Now, we all want to start little groups. Let's just start a group and show these people how to do this. Let's start a group and help these people to pray. Let's start a group and help these people. No. Let's open our Bibles and go through them together. If we will, it'll help people to pray. It'll bring people around. It'll change their hearts. It'll change their emotions. It'll change their minds. It will change their lives completely. It's the Word of God. You need to begin to put all your trust in God and everything He's got to say. It's that important to you. He says, your word is my counselor. Your word is my guide. What you say is what I want to hear, he's saying. I think a lot of people could save a whole lot of money if they would open their Bibles and get serious about it. They wouldn't have to be in a lot of programs. They wouldn't have to be in a lot of the strange situations, trying to get help from the world and from all these strange places. Right here, this word could change my life. No matter how far gone I think I am, God's word can do it. By the power of His Holy Spirit. We're just not giving Him a chance. We're trying all the world's ways. And we're going to be sorry. Verse 25 says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Here it is. I told you this was coming. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heard me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He starts that, my soul cleaves to the dust. What he's saying is, I'm being pulled down into the dirt. It's like I'm being stuck to it. I'm being drawn or dragged down into the dirt. Now, Christian, how many of you, if you're going to be honest, how many of us, if we're really going to be honest, could say the same thing? I'm being pulled down into the things of the world, into the muck and the mire, the things that Jesus delivered me from, the things He brought me out of. I'm being pulled down constantly back into them. Why? Because of the things I'm allowing into my home. The things I'm allowing into my attitude, the things that you look around as you're driving down the street, garbage gets into your head. As you are looking, I mean, if you're watching the news on television, the sick commercials that are in between gets into your head and it's dragging you down and you say it's not. Yet take a look at your life. All of us, just take a look at our lives and our children. It's dragging them down into the worldly things, back into the muck and into the mire. There they are. And I don't think we should be surprised when they look at us and say, you know, I don't like Bible study. Well, of course you don't. You've been dragged down by every bit of the stuff we let you get into. Video games, death, grief, sorrow, murder, blood. Well, as long as they're quiet and they're not out in the streets causing trouble, But what's happening is they're being dragged down. What does he say? My soul cleaves to the dust. I'm being dragged down into it. You and I get dragged down into the worldly things on a regular basis. We need to pray about it, don't we? Because that's what happens to us. The whole world is designed to pull me down. Even the local news is designed to pull me down. It is not designed to bring a Christian perspective to anything. So the only Bible you're going to get is if you attend a church where the Bible is taught, and that's once a week, sometimes twice. For you really wild ones, three times or four. But for your average person, one time a week at church, a little bit of Bible, and then all the rest of the week, if you're not reading, what are you getting? You're being dragged down into the worldly garbage. And it always amazes us when we pray and we feel like our prayers aren't powerful. We don't know how to pray. We're not sure if we really belong to the Lord. We get ourselves into jams and we try to handle it thousands of ways except for prayer. I mean, we're in trouble. We must, as he told us in verses 25 through 32, we must guard our hearts from being pulled down into worldly things. We have to do it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got to do it. Those of you that have little children, you are responsible. God will talk to you someday about them. It will be brought up. You're responsible for these little ones. Watch what they're into. Be careful what they're about. He goes on, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy reverence. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Teach me, he says, your ways. Teach me your word, O Lord. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who is coming. He's here now. But I mean, Jesus hadn't gone to the Father yet. He said, the Comforter will come. This is what will happen. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, Jesus says, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, underline, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The psalmist says, Lord, teach me your word. Jesus says, you're not going to have to do this on your own. I will go to the Father. He'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He'll take up residence in your life, and he will teach you all things. You can learn because the Holy Spirit will teach you. You can do this. He will teach you all things and will remind you. When the psalmist says, teach me your ways, you and I could pray that also. Listen closely. I could say, Lord, teach me your ways. But then I just keep my Bible closed. How long is it going to take me to learn? Well, see, you don't understand. My schedule is so busy, I just don't have time to read. My schedule is such, my job is so stressful, I just don't have time to read God's word and to pray. I just don't have that kind of time. And that's the society that we've become. We're a fast food society, so we want a fast food religion. We want to drive through, get a little quick, whatever we get, and go. And we're hoping that it's hot. And that's what people have become. I don't have time to read my Bible, so I bought this little thing. I can throw it in the CD on the way to work and listen to the Bible as I'm going. Hey, yeah, same to you. Stupid blinker's not working. Oh, wait, what was he saying? Oh, yeah, this, we're doing this. You know, listen to that noise. There's a noise. Every time I put the clutch in, there's this noise. You think you're really listening to the Bible? Oh, man. Okay, I'll give you this. It's better than nothing. But that's the trouble with us. Fast food is always better than nothing. Except it's full of empty calories. We love it. We need grease in our life. We love it. It's making us chubby, but it's not helping us at all. I didn't say listening to the Bible in your car radio isn't helping you. I said you need to read your Bible. Listening to that, that's great. Pay attention. Listen to it everywhere you go. It's not going to hurt a thing. But don't let it become your substitute for opening it up, saying, Lord, show me, and reading what God's word is, and meditating on it, chewing it up and swallowing it, listening closely to God's word. It's too late. It's too late for us to keep pretending, to keep playing. It's too late for all this. This is what we need. We know it's true, but it's like going, you know, to the dentist, and the dentist says, here's what I'm going to have to do if you want your teeth to be well. And you're going, you got to be kidding. You got to do all that dynamite and everything? But there comes a time when if you want to keep them, you know, my dentist told me you only have to floss the teeth you want to keep. I said, well, good. I got two of those I would like to hold on to. Teach me and turn me away from the things that are foolish and not profitable. You know something? I believe that you and I don't know what is foolish. And I believe we don't know what is profitable. And we can't know without being close to the Lord in the day that we live. And the psalmist says, turn me away from the things that are foolish. How will I know them? I probably won't. I need to listen to your word and believe and by your strength follow that. Or I'll be into something that's not profitable. Teach me, turn me, he says. Verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty and freedom, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. He says it in verses 41 through 48. Save me through your mercies, through your word, that I may answer those that condemn me. That I may answer those that question me. We need to become men and women of the word. I will talk about your word, he says, and I will talk about your ways to others. Not only should I have the word of God in my life, in my heart, in my life, but I should be sharing that word with others. Many times you can't use words. Many times you're in a position where you can't say words, but you can share the word of God by what? Doing God's word. That speaks loudly sometimes, much more loudly than words. Actions speak pretty loud and people won't miss them. I'll talk about your word and your ways to others, even kings or those in authority. And I will not be ashamed of you, and I will not be ashamed of your word. I really want to encourage you. Some of you aren't as close to the Lord as you used to be. And every one of us knows this. When you have known a nearness to the Lord, you immediately notice a distance, don't you? Don't you? When you and I have really known a nearness, and we're not knowing it now, we may not tell everybody, but we notice it. Do you remember when you really were close? Jesus says, you've left your first. Do you remember when you were close? I'll tell you what you were doing. You were in fellowship. You weren't really gossiping much. You loved everybody. You didn't know any better. You were reading your Bible every day. And man, there was this closeness there with the Lord, and the Lord would be speaking to you, and you'd be singing psalms and making melody in your heart, and you're driving, and even the people that aren't using their blinkers, they're not bothering you at all. It just seems like it's all right. Can you remember those days? Jesus says, remember and repent and repeat those first works again. Yeah, it's time to get back to the Bible. I mean, we could skip Psalm 119, read it right. Like one of the commentaries I asked, he takes one verse out of each section and just reads it and says two or three words of each. And I thought, that's great, but man, oh man, that's, you know, why not read it all the way? So far, I haven't gotten a tape yet where someone does every verse, just reads them out loud. So I thought we'd get that on tape. And then once people fire me for doing it, it'll still be on tape. Verse 49 says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. He says to the Lord, verses 49 through 56, remember and keep your promises that you have given to me in your word. Remember and keep your promises. Remember your word to your servant, O Lord. God has promised me in his word some things. God has promised you. Christian, do you really belong to him? If you do, he has promised you some things. Do you know what they are? Can you go to the Lord when you're brokenhearted and say, Lord, I bow before you. I know that you promised that you would do this. I know that you promised that you would take care of that. What is he saying? Lord, I remember what you promised, and I'm asking you to keep your promise and remember your promise, because I hope in your word. Lord, you said it, and I trust you. It was Corrie ten Boom years and years ago. She said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And that's the way, that's what he's saying right here. He's saying, Lord, I'm asking you to remember your promises. I remember what you said, and I hope in what you said. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me, and I'm sure feeling alone. I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling confused, and I don't know what to do. But you promised, and I know that you remember this promise. You promised you would never leave me, help me. And you start claiming the promises of God. I hope in your word. I trust in your promises. Let me not be ashamed. Let me trust in you. Earlier on, the psalmist prayed that. Remember, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Don't you ever pray that? Lord, I'm not sure what's going on, but I want to do your will. I just want to do what your word says. Lord, let me not be ashamed. As I trust in you and hope on your promises, let me not be ashamed. Has God ever let you down yet? God will always be with you and keep his promise and bless you. And then he says it in the middle of troubles, in the middle of the afflictions, I trust in you as I listen to your word. It says, horror has taken hold of me because of the wicked that forsake me. I remember your judgments of old. See, in the middle of my troubles, that's when I need to trust in the Lord. Trust in what he has told me. Jesus said, come to me. We're told, cast all your cares on him. So I'm going to hurt God for me to cry. Crying is not a sin. But in those tears, what I need to do is not panic and give it to him. Lord, this is yours. You've got to deal with this. You've got to handle it. I can't. I'm too little. I'm too puny. This one is yours, Lord. Lord, hear and answer and be glorified. In the middle of trials, he says, I'll trust in you. and I'll listen to your word. Verse 57 says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated or begged thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. He starts verses 57 through 64. He starts them with a powerful statement. You are my portion. And you got to think about that. You'll read that in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Jeremiah writes that. The Lord is my portion. You know, that means I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. In this life, you're what I get. Others, maybe they get fame. Maybe they get fortune. Maybe they get everything they thought they deserved. Maybe they got all kinds of dreams, and those dreams come true for them, and they think, man, I reached my goal. I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30, and I did that. You know what I got? You know what I got? I got God. Years ago in my life, when I was going to do this, and I was going to do that, and I was going to be all that I could be, as the army said that we could, you know, God saved my life. He came into my heart and He saved my life. And so from that moment on, I said it. Lord, you're what I get. In this life, you're what I get. You are my portion. Doesn't matter to me what everybody else gets. I get you. There is nothing better than that. God is my Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. Christian, He is your Father. You can say to Him, you are my portion. I belong to you in this life and in the life to come. I trust in you. I rest in you. I hope in you. I count on you. I don't know what people do that don't have Him. It amazes me listening to the things that are being said about the war, the things that are being said about Iraq, the things that are being said about the world and all that's going on. It amazes me how their perspective is so bizarre when they're not saved. The things that they say, the things that, if you listen to the president's speech last night, the things that they picked up on, you're just amazed at their logic or lack thereof, just amazed at what's going on around us. And you stop and you say, I've got the Lord. Nothing is going to turn it back. Nothing. Not war, not rumors of war, not peace, not anything that the world is trying to put together or trying to stop or whatever. Nothing. I've got God. You've got God. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing. Don't you know that yet? That's what he's saying. He says, you know, a few verses down after 57, I've been robbed. I know some of you can say that. I mean, you know, you were up for a promotion and somebody else got it. You didn't, maybe because they thought you were just a little too pushy with your faith. Or you're just a little weird. That girl, she's weird. She's one of those Christians. Or that guy, look at him. You know, I've been robbed. I've been mistreated. I know that many of you can say the same thing. I have in my life been mistreated. I'm sure you've been mistreated. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, I guarantee you've been mistreated. You've been misjudged, you've been mishandled, and probably by others who call themselves Christians, so-called brothers and sisters. I've been mistreated, I've been cheated. Right? That's a song, isn't it? When will I be loved? I've been robbed. But, he goes on to say what? I have not forgotten your word. Listen. You may get cheated today. You may get mistreated tomorrow. Things may fall apart in your life, and there you are, never having expected it. And what does he say? But I still have not forgotten your word. I'm still counting on you. You promised. You said you'd be there for me. You said that you would help me through this. You said that you would carry me over it. You said that you would drag me around it. Lord, whatever you said, I'm counting on your word. I trust in you, I believe. Even though it looks like this is really bad. Even though it looks like I might not pull out of this one. I just stop and say, but I remember your word. I'm going to live with you forever. You are my portion. I belong to you. Help me to understand your word, your ways, your precepts. He says that I am a friend to all that trust in you, to all that reverence you and serve you. I'm a friend. And the earth is full of your mercy. Lord, teach me. Teach me your ways. Teach me your word. Teach me your will. Guide me through this life. Show me what to do. Show me how to do it. I am not here all by myself. Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. The word in the Gospel of John is comforter. So he says, I will not leave you comfortless. But in our language, it literally means orphans. You're not going to be alone. I'll ask the Father and he'll send the Spirit. Hey, the Holy Spirit is not here to perform three-ring circus acts for the world. The Holy Spirit is here to teach you and to guide you, and obviously to convict others of sin, but to teach me, to guide me, to strengthen me, to remind me what he's taught me already, to teach me how to build on that foundation and to grow up, to continue to grow up in him. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. Christian, you have God, the Spirit, in your heart. God dwells in you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. He's my portion. He's what I get. And so I could go back to Psalm 23 and say that with David. And I hope all of us can. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else. I've got the Lord. He's my portion. That's all I need. What will happen to me? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? The world says, que sera, sera, dude. That's not what God says. What does God say? Trust me. I'll make you pretty. I'll make you beautiful, spotless. I'll have you to stand with me forever, to rule and reign, a kingdom of priests with the Lord our God. It's not whatever, que sera, sera. It's here's the promise. We will live forever. It's what he promised. Every one of us, everyone who comes to Jesus Christ, saving faith, giving our hearts and our lives to the Lord, opening our hearts and asking the Lord in. Eternal life, freely given because of the blood shed on the cross. He's our portion. I really want to encourage you. Of course, we'll be encouraged a few more times. We'll stop here because we're going to share communion. But we'll be encouraged a few more times before this chapter's over to read our Bibles. I think I know now why people don't want us to go verse by verse through Psalm 119. It's going to say the same thing over and over. Read your Bible. You think that we would only need to be told once, but we need to be told 176 times just in this chapter alone. There's a point to it. How about your children? Why should it be good for me to read my Bibles, but the children can just do their own? No, that's where we've gone wrong as a society. Our children need to read their Bibles. Find them a Bible that's exciting. Read the Bible to them. Make it exciting. Paul says that you can preach so that others will believe. Meaning, if I'm not excited about it, people that listen to me aren't going to get excited about it. If I don't care, they're not going to care. That's what's going to happen to your children. You say, my children are already a mess. Well, thank you for admitting it out loud. Most parents are too embarrassed to say, my kid is a wreck. I'd like to kill him and get another one. I like a parent that admits that. Because then you got something to work with. My boy's good. He's got ADD, LMNOP, HQR. And plus, I think he's tired. There, we have a parent that's going to be hard to work with. What did they do before they invented ADD? I didn't say your child doesn't have it, TMJ. But I'm telling you what. You can dope them up for the rest of their life on the drugs that are handed out freely that we are seeing are destroying youth. Or you can get into the Word of God yourself and get them into the Word of God and see what a difference the Word of God will make in the hearts of every one of us, me and you included, not just little ones, but us big ones too. Jesus Christ died for me and for you. He shed his blood on the cross at Calvary for all of us. We come to him. Now it's time to get serious with him. They're going to hand you this tiny, tiny little piece of bread and then this cup. I believe that you ought to really, sincerely take your heart before the Lord. All of us should. Before we take that bread representing his broken body, before we take that cup representing his blood shed, because see, it is by grace through faith. We didn't have to earn any of this. Jesus died and rose again that I might have life, that you might have life. But where are we with him? Remember the days when you were close, when you were excited, when there was really, you knew the Spirit was moving in your life. Remember those days. And I will promise you that that included you daily, even three or four times daily, in his word faithfully. And I think you know it. Do you want to get back to that? Jesus is calling us all back to it. Before you take that bread, before you take the cup, give your heart back to the Lord. Give your children back to him. Give your situation to him. Call out to God. He can still heal. He can still bind up. He is still in the business of working miracles for his glory, not for mine and yours. So when you're ready in your own heart, take that bread, the body of Jesus. When you're ready in your own heart, take that cup, the blood that was shed. Let's bow our heads.